A recent scientific report saying the Great Salt Lake could dry up within 5 years has set off alarm bells in Utah. Environmental groups are suing state leaders, saying they need to drastically cut how much water farmers use and let it flow into the lake instead. But as spring planting time approaches, many farmers say fears about the lake drying up are overblown. NPR's Kirk Siegel reports from Salt Lake City.
One of Dita Seed's favorite spots to hike is a trail above her neighborhood that starts snaking up the steep Wasatch Mountains for an amazing view of Salt Lake City, unless it's smoggy.
Well, we're looking out at pollution.
A brown cloud blankets the valley, obscuring views of the downtown skyline. Salt Lake City is notorious for having some of the dirtiest air in the country in the winter, and you can barely make out the Great Salt Lake off to the west.
This is dangerous air quality that we're sitting in, and this drying lake bed is making the situation worse.
She's talking about the recent rise in dust storms, blowing naturally occurring toxins off that drying lake bed, like arsenic and lead, into the city.
This is a life-defining crisis for us in northern Utah.
Seed works for the Green Group's Center for Biological Diversity. It's suing the state over what it also calls a looming ecological collapse. The lake's shrinking is already killing the brine shrimp that feed threatened migratory birds. She says Utah leaders just aren't making the tough political choice to cut water to alfalfa farms and dairies north of the lake.
We can't afford to continue to do that with our water in the West. So those farmers need to be compensated so they can retire from farming.
This is a popular refrain right now from California to Utah, where precious river water channeled through irrigation canals is used to grow thirsty feed crops, some for export, even as droughts in the West are getting worse with climate change. Utah is the second driest state in the country, yet it also has the second highest water use per capita.
The boys told me.
80 miles north of the city, ringed by mountains, is the fertile Cache Valley. The Subarus and ski racks so common in Salt Lake give way to pickup trucks hauling farm equipment. And farmers like Clay Carter say they're being unfairly maligned in the fight over the imperiled Great Salt Lake.
The farmers are maybe some of the best conservationists in the country, and they seldom get the credit for it.
Carter grows alfalfa on his family's farm just north of the Great Salt Lake. Here, hundreds of millions of dollars is tied up in a 130-year-old canal system that takes water out of the Bear River upstream of the lake and delivers it to farms. But today, he's on the factory floor of the engineering company he also owns. They build automated watering systems designed to more efficiently grow irrigated crops in the desert. He switches his on or off or adjusts them based on what the weather is doing, all from his phone right here.
What you're seeing here are the actual automated valves.
And lately, Carter says he's growing just as much alfalfa with half the water. In his mind, Utah doesn't have to choose between farming and saving the Great Salt Lake. But he says getting everyone here to do what he did will take time and a lot of money.
You're talking 20 years of drought that have created this problem. It may take us 20 years of finding and deploying solutions to get to a viable working solution.
Carter doesn't see the same five-alarm fire that scientists and environmentalists are warning about down in the city, but farmers in the Cache Valley insist they don't want to see the lake dry up either.
Oh yeah, Dad, I couldn't find the grain bucket.
It's in the barrel.
Todd Pierce and his father-in-law grow alfalfa to feed their dairy cows that produce cheese for the company Organic Valley.
If we don't have water going into the Great Salt Lake, there's enough migratory birds that aren't doing great, and if we destroy their habitat by not giving the water that the Great Salt Lake needs, we're going to get federal regulations that make us save that water.
To get ahead of that, Utah lawmakers in the last year have put hundreds of millions of dollars toward conservation, including grants for farmers to switch to those new efficient irrigation systems, or paying them to sometimes let their water flow downstream into the lake. But so far, barely a trickle of irrigation water has actually gotten there.
It's not happening very much because everyone sees their water as use or lose. And so if I'm not using it, the person down the road or down the ditch is going to use it.
And this might explain some of the anger and frustration being directed at farmers right now in the fight over the lake. Utah Governor Spencer Cox, who's pledged it won't dry up under his watch, is urging patience.
I'm far less worried about the lake now than I have been at any time in the past 3 or 4 years. And the reason I'm less worried about it is because we have invested $1 billion. We have a plan. We've changed more than a century's worth of law in the state.
Cox, himself an alfalfa farmer, says just buying out farms or fallowing fields could destroy Utah's rural economy. His plan to save the lake, which now includes an appointed Great Salt Lake Commissioner, is mapped out over the next couple decades. This, even though some Utah scientists have warned the lake could dry up within 5 years if no action is taken.
That prediction is laughable. It's a joke, and everybody knows it's a joke. They were never serious about that. They know it was not going to dry up in 5 years. That's the doomerism that is terrible for people.
Still, scientists say there's solid evidence the lake is in trouble, putting the ecosystem and public health in jeopardy. Back in the Salt Lake Valley, where most Utahns live, physician Brian Mensch says if the toxic dust storms get much worse, combined with the already poor air, people will start moving away, and there won't be any market left for the farmers.
We're very distressed that there isn't a continued urgency to address this problem.
Mensch leads Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment, which joined the lawsuit against the state. He says he's recently been having tough conversations with his own kids who want to move home to Utah.
We would love to have our family be reunited, but I have to honestly say that I'm not sure that that's a good idea, given our air pollution. Now, how tragic is that?
Tragedy in Mensch's view, that's preventable. A hearing for the lawsuit has yet to be set, but the state recently filed a motion asking the court to dismiss it. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Salt Lake City.